And hello from Damien O'Mara. You're very welcome to the Rugby Show, RTE Sports Rugby Podcast. And so, another defeat to reflect upon from an Irish perspective in the Six Nations, but oddly, there seems to be quite a lot of positivity about. Joe Schmidt's side sit with just a single point to show from their games so far following Saturday's 21-11 defeat to England at Twickenham. Was it deserved? Did Lady Luck desert us? What about Mike Brown's boots? Plenty to chat about. We will reflect upon the game and the performance in the company of former Irish fullback Jordan Murphy. Before we hear from Jordan, let's get some reaction from the game itself. Michael Corcoran has been chatting to Joe Schmidt and Rory Best, while the England head coach Eddie Jones has been speaking with Claire McNamara.
Every defeat is disappointing. I think there were things in the performance that are promising, not just disappointing. And I think, you know, in the end, it's a test match and the result rules, the perspective people will take. But... you know, there was a couple of promising signs from the new guys we had in, and the fact that we created chances again. You know, we crossed the line twice. Once the ball just escaped Robbie's hand as he reached out, and another one. You know, I thought it almost could have gone either way with the TMO, and so, you know, you get either of those, it's two tries each, and we're right back in the game. You know, and I thought Alton Delane came on and did really well when he. When he made that line break, I honestly thought that if we get quick ball from that, we're going to score. Yeah. And, you know, it's frustrating that, that we didn't get that quick ball, and we've got to take responsibility for that. It's very hard sometimes, and obviously they were penalised and received a yellow card. But on the back of that, we then soaked up 3 minutes having three or four scrums, which kind of negated the advantage that we had there, which is really frustrating because we just wanted to get the scrum underway and keep playing. But when you've got that points differential on the scoreboard, you can afford to soak that time up and you know, in the end, it left us frustrated. But England played very, very well.
You must have been very pleased, however, at half time.
Yeah, you know, you're never delighted when you're behind, but you know, considering the mountain of possession and territory that they had, I thought we defended really well, and that's a disappointment with the two tries they got. That we didn't maintain that. Once we hit the lead, it almost seemed like we got tentative and didn't really defend with quite the same attitude that we'd had before. Now, there's probably a little bit of fatigue that came from that first half, but at the same time, I felt we still had enough in our legs to probably keep a little bit more pressure on them when they had the ball, and I felt we certainly exerted a fair bit of pressure on them when we carried the ball.
Pretty powerful outfit, aren't they?
Big and strong, and I think on the back of Billy Vunipola giving them advantage line and beyond the advantage line, partial line breaks, tackle breaks, it is very hard to stop them because they're getting behind you and, you know, they get that quick ball and they've got good athletes to finish with. So you've got to be able to make sure that you don't let them break that advantage line or you don't let them break those tackles, because once they are in behind you, they're very difficult to stop. While we're trying to rebuild a little bit, you know, it's very difficult to maintain the same level. I think we probably lost three or four lineouts in the 22 today. You know, with the experience of a couple of the guys that we've had in the last 2 years, that's less likely to happen. And you've got guys who are coming in and doing their utmost, and they'll learn from that experience. And I think that's a really important thing, because while you're judged on your result, we've got to judge ourselves on the process and try to improve that, because that's how you get the result at the end of the day. And we've got to be desperate about getting a result in the next game.
With Rory Best, Rory, a disappointing defeat.
Absolutely, you know, I think just a bit of the same story. Unfortunately, you know, we a lot of endeavour, and just that last wee bit, just in the opposition 22, we had a couple of chances. Even we were slightly ahead or slightly behind, just to get control of the game again by putting points on the scoreboard, and we just couldn't quite get over the line there, which is obviously bitterly disappointing for us.
When Connor got the try, Johnny kicked the conversion. I mean, you were in a pretty good position. How windy was it outside there?
It was swirling a wee bit, and at times it was pretty windy. But yeah, look, the conditions were pretty good by and large.
in terms of a defensive effort in the second half, I mean, you'll be disappointed, obviously, to concede those tries within the space of 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think given the defensive effort we had in the first half as well, you know, that's more like our standard. You know, we were winning collisions, and the closer we got to our own line, the more likely we were to win collisions. And we obviously made a lot of tackles in that first half. And we just, tackles that we were making and making well in the first half, we were falling off, we're soaking a little bit in the second, which is disappointing. And if you give England, with their the sort of calibre of outside back they have, you give them front foot ball and quick ball, it's going to be tough, and so it proved.
So after three games, I mean, it's almost there, but not quite, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah, look, it's obviously tough, and, you know, we don't expect standards to drop, and, you know, we've talked a lot about who we have rather than who we haven't, and, you know, I think that's where we are, and that's how we feel, and we're disappointed in that. You know, there are aspects of our play that you know, we're pleased with, but we just can't seem to piece it all together. We just can't seem to turn enough of those chances into points.
Eddie, you're in a very strong position, 3 wins from 3 and a grand slam still on the table for you.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to Wales now in 2 weeks' time. They had a good win against France last night, so, yeah, we're happy where we're standing at the moment.
Those two quick tries in the second half obviously saw you home. Did you feel you should have been further ahead after the first half?
Well, we're disappointed in the first half that we didn't put more points on the board. You know, we created a number of good opportunities but just weren't clinical or sharp enough at the breakdown. But Ireland are a champion team. You know, they've won the last 2 Six Nations and their scramble defence was outstanding.
They hit you very strongly at the start of the second half. Can you talk to me just about, they came at you again towards the end of that half. Just talk to me about discipline, particularly that Mike Brown incident. What did you make of it?
Well, yeah, he was legitimately kicking at the ball. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, we got a player sin bin for lying on the ball, which is fair enough, but I don't think there was anything wrong with what Mike Brown did.
You agree you thought it was accidental?
100%. Well, if the ball's there, you're allowed to kick at it. And the player on the ground shouldn't be holding on to the ball. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
James Haskell had earlier been sin-binned and you conceded a try straight after that. That also could have proved costly.
Yeah, you know, he hit Conor Murray late and was put in the bin, and it cost us a try, which put Ireland back into the game.
Overall, you're very happy, obviously, with the direction that England is going in?
Well, I was happier with our attack today. I think we showed glimpses of what we're going to be capable of doing in the future. You know, set piece and defence has been evolving nicely, but the thing that pleased me the most today was our attack.
Can I just ask you what you thought of Jonathan Sexton today? You had a lot of concern for him in the build-up to this game.
Well, he's a wonderful player, isn't he? You know, he's a line standoff. He's the heartbeat of the Ireland side, and again, I thought he was very good today. You know, I thought, you know, we handled him pretty well most of the time defensively, but he's a wonderful player.
Do you think your comments pre-match were maybe a little bit over the top?
No. Look, I made a comment about that. It wasn't me who made the comment that he had whiplash injuries. You know, don't forget that. That was the Ireland camp that made that. And I just made a comment whether those whiplash injuries are okay or not.
So you're all set up for a big championship showdown here, potentially with Wales in 2 weeks' time?
Well, you know, all we're worried about is beating Wales in 2 weeks' time, and we'll prepare well for that.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you. Cheers.
Eddie Jones there with Claire McNamara. Let's hear from an Irishman now, well and truly settled in England. Former Ireland and Leicester fullback Jordan Murphy is our guest this week. He's now an assistant coach with the club. And I suppose the easiest of questions to begin with, over the course of the 80 minutes, did the most deserving team win?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think England played some good rugby. Not to say Ireland didn't. I thought the lads were very, very good in parts, particularly impressive. I thought we would have been pleased going in at half-time. Only 6-3 down. I thought the guys defended stoutly and in fairness created a couple of chances, but they were really breakaway chances where England were really pounding our line. But when we went to 11-6 up, I was pretty pleased. I thought, you know, it might be just a thing we needed, but the English backline has a lot of firepower in it, and I just think we ran out of a little bit of steam. I thought I was really impressed with the some of the English guys, particularly Billy Gunapola that 8.
When you look at it, though, a trend that is developing over the course of a number of games now is that we're managing to nudge ourselves just in front and then not fully managing to see the games out. Would that be a big concern for you?
Not a massive concern, no. You know, I don't think we've lost any, you know, massive leads. It's been very tight and very close. I think the nature of the amount of defence and the way sort of the energy expended in the first half probably cost us after 50-60 minutes. So from that point of view, you know, I wouldn't be overly concerned with losing narrowly like that, because I suppose the nature of the game these days is that, that teams are going to score tries and they hold you back in if you're only one score ahead.
Mm. And do we just need to accept that we're in a much different landscape this year compared to the two championships we've won, that aside from just Paul O'Connell being absent, that the number of players we have injured, that it's just simply a smaller pool, and the effort that is required to win a test match, is it just beyond us a little bit at this stage when you look at the powers of depth we have compared to the teams we're facing?
I think a lot of things went against us, the Six Nations, you know, particularly the draw. We had a very difficult draw. You know, I think you'll probably see two wins down the road now from Ireland against Scotland and Italy, and much improved performances. And if you had had those at the start of the competition, maybe you build a bit of confidence, maybe you blood some of those young guys who get that experience, and they're, you know, you're not getting your first caps away in Twickenham, which is a very difficult place to go and play. I think it just was, you know, the first game against Wales was, you know, huge intensity there, and we just, you know, you could have nicked that game, and then you'd probably be in a different place. As you say, injuries have been costly, retirements have been costly. You lose guys, very, very experienced guys like O'Connell and Seanie O'Brien and even Tommy Bow. It's a tough place to be, but I think we just have to stick with it. And as I said, I expect to get two wins in the next two games, and for some of those guys who came on and did very well on the weekend to go on to be long servants in the shirt.
Talk me through those debutants at the weekend, and who it was maybe that impressed you most, and what it was about how they went about their business.
I thought a lot of the boys did well. You know, I thought McCluskey did very well when he was on, carried the ball very, you know, powerfully. And looked like a real threat, and certainly, you know, he's got some attributes to his game that you could definitely build a back line around with that strong running, and he's got a good all-floating game, which is, you know, the way where the game's at the moment. And Delan in the second row came on. I was really impressed with him. It's great for his break, and he looked like a great footballer. In all honesty, I hadn't seen a huge amount of him. I've just been sort of picking bits and pieces of the Connacht games up, but he did very, very well.
And Josh van der Fleer?
Yeah, again, I've seen more of Josh. I suppose I can't believe that he's only 22. I've seen a lot of him in a blue shirt for Leinster, and he had another great game. I think Ireland are particularly spoiled in the back row with the amount of guys coming through the provinces who can play in those positions. It's a real area of strength for us.
So, in your mind now, does Joe Schmidt have to stick with them and keep giving them game time within the setup? Is it enough to just have them around Carton House training, or do you need to have them out against Italy and Scotland now in the Aviva in the next two rounds?
It's a very difficult one for them. I think when those guys are in and they're playing well, then it makes sense to have them playing. You know, you're not going to learn much being around the environment or in the camp as you are when you're on the field. But as you know, as I said, he's spoiled for riches in the back row. So I'm sure he'll keep those guys around, and I'm sure that they'll have games in the coming weeks. Mm.
In terms of the Irish performance at the weekend, where are the areas that would concern you most, or the areas that you would be looking to work most on now in training when they get back to Carton?
I think on a couple of occasions we kind of went to a second man plays in the midfield with the forwards, which you see a lot of teams in world rugby doing. But we didn't really have a huge amount of numbers outside of that, which sort of led to the backs receiving the ball at the back of the forwards turning back inside a little bit, and we looked a little bit to avoid one off. I suppose the English defence was very strong there, but we didn't really get any momentum on our carries off from nine, so potentially some shape there would be something that I would look at. But you know, I think the effort was there. Certainly the guys, you know, put everything in and gave 100%. So from that point of view, I suppose you wouldn't expect anything less from an Irish team. I hope that, you know, they, as you said, just build on the positives from the weekend and you know, keep playing with ball in hand and try and get a couple of wins in the last game.
How much better a team are England under Eddie Jones than they might have been under Lancaster? Because he seems to have done a phenomenal job to you know, really change the landscape in a very, very short period of time.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's probably very unfair to compare the two of them. I know Stuart did a fantastic job when he was in charge. It's one of those things that Eddie, I don't think, has changed a huge amount. Maybe the mindset of the players, certainly, and certainly the confidence seems to be back there. They've got a big test against Wales coming up, and I'm sure they'll want to address their humiliation at the World Cup. So that's a game that I'm sort of anticipating. But you know, I think with the amount of talent that England have, you know, they certainly have a very talented young backline, and I think he's picked really smart. He's been really smart in the way he's picked. You know, picking Itoje, who's only 21 in the second row, but's really been a form player for a year and a half. I think Eddie Jones, he doesn't have really any qualms about picking young players, you know, picking Elliot Daly in a 12 on the weekend. He just wants quality players on the field, and I think there are some very good young English players, and I suppose it's an exciting time for English rugby, and if they get it right, I think there'll be a strong side for the next considerable few years.
Is that a thing that Irish rugby across the board has been reluctant to do in the last couple of years, and wrongfully so, that we don't seem as comfortable to throw guys in, irrespective of what they've done, say, in the European Cup or the Pro 12, into the main test arena?
Yeah, I suppose so. I think England have probably been reticent for quite a while to do it as well. It's only kind of in the last few months that they've really done it. Like, Itoji, for me, has been a standout player in Europe for the last few seasons, but he's only been capped in this Six Nations. And I think all coaches probably, if you've got something tried and tested, it's probably a little bit more of a safer option to keep that there than to throw in young guys. But I suppose the benefit of blooding them is fantastic. Mm. But I think Joe Schmidt's been great for Ireland. You know, I think he's given a lot of guys opportunities, and he's put different guys into the back row and certainly across the board. I don't think he would be shy of making changes if somebody's playing well, as McCaughey sort of has done. He'll give opportunities. So I don't think necessarily that we haven't tested our youth.
When you look at the landscape of the Six Nations, has it played out much as you would have expected from an Irish perspective, or is it a championship that we can look at objectively and say, we've underperformed ever so slightly here?
I think it's really difficult. I think, obviously, it's probably a very different... we probably have a very different view if we had edged that game in Wales, or if you had edged that game in Paris. It's been disappointing for everyone, I think, just probably because we've set very high standards for ourselves. Winning the last two championships, I think everyone probably thought before this one started that we could go and win this one. It's been a tough time, I think, losing some big players, and probably confidence isn't as high as it could be in the camp at the minute. But I don't see it as a massive problem. I think that the guys there and the talent that I see in green shirts are something to be hopeful about, and I think that, we can obviously learn. There's some young guys coming through the ranks, and they seem to be fantastic players. I hope that we can get back on the horse over the rest of the Six Nations, and hopefully go from strength to strength from here on in.
But you'd expect, as I presume, to beat Italy and Scotland at home and have that bit of momentum then to bring to South Africa for the summer tour.
Yeah, very much so. And it depends again what you want to do on that summer tour. Do you want to give some young guys some experience, which will be a very difficult place to go and win is in South Africa. But you want to give those younger guys, as we talked about earlier, the opportunity to go and they see how they get on in a very tough environment. I expect Ireland to win the next two Six Nations games and then kind of finish mid-table, which it will probably be disappointing, but the way things have panned out with the amount of injuries and the like, that it's probably going to be a reasonable result.
Who's going to win the championship, do you think, looking at it as it sits at the moment?
I think England will win the championship. I think they'll go to Paris looking for a grand slam, and I think that's another big game for them. I think England will have a little bit too much for Wales the next time out. I think it'll be huge for them in that they know they didn't perform at the World Cup. I think certainly from speaking to the English players, they were embarrassed about losing to Wales at the World Cup. So they'll have a lot to play for there. And plus, as we talked about earlier, they've got a lot of firepower in their back line. And I just think that they should be a little bit more creative than Wales at the moment. I think England will win that game at home, although it will be tight. I think they'll go away to a potential grand slam in Paris.
Okay. Before I might chat to you about Leicester and how the season has gone today, just to put the Six Nations to bed, do you have a view on the Mike Brown incident, or what is your view on that? Because it seems to be analysed differently from people who've played the game and are involved in the game from those of us who've never really taken to the field in anger at that level.
Yeah, it's an area of the game that's kind of crept into the breakdown in the last season and a half. You're allowed to step in and you're allowed to try and kick the ball out. It's a tough lull, because as an attacking player there, it's very difficult to clean Mike Brown out of that ruck. The only way you can clean him out is probably to go knee height, and then you're looking for damage from Mike Brown's knees. Players don't really do that. They're not that cynical. So it's a difficult thing. I don't think there was any malice in that. Mike Brown is a very competitive player. He's a very progression is sort of something that he takes into every phase of play. I don't think he was trying to kick Conor Murray. I think actually it was his left foot that caught Conor, his left heel that caught Conor Murray. It's a tough one. I don't think it was a card. I was a little bit disappointed, you know, in the last couple of his right foot, the last couple of opportunities, because I thought then, you know, he probably knew he wasn't in a position to kick the ball. But I think that's just part and parcel of rugby. I think the referee did the right thing to pin Danny Kerr.
Okay. Before we finish, very comprehensive win for Leicester at home to London Irish over the weekend. Fourth in the Aviva Premiership table. Is it along where you would like to be or where you would expect to be at this time in the season?
No, not really. We'd like to be higher. I think we started the season very well and kind of just around the start of the Six Nations, we had a little bit of a lull. We've had quite a few injuries and we lost three games in a row before we beat London Irish, which was something that, you know, I can't remember happening for quite a while. Particularly disappointing to lose to some of the teams down the bottom of the league as well. We lost to Sale, Newcastle, it was certainly very, very disappointing, really. So we got back on track to a certain extent on the weekend against Irish, but again, you know, made a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of areas to improve, and you know, we go into three big weeks now where we play the teams in the top three places ahead of us. We play Saracens, Exeter, and Wasps, which will be tough games. But again, puts it back in our hands, and we're just trying to get bodies fit. At the minute, at this time of the season, is generally quite tough for us in that, you know, we're always trying to scramble, trying to get bodies on the field, and it's just trying to balance the difference of how much training you do on the park and how much training you do off the park in order to be prepared to the best of your ability. I think next 3 weeks will probably be pretty important for our season. Hopefully we can sort of maintain that top fourth place.
And then obviously a European quarterfinal to come as well, which means probably more to Leicester than it might necessarily mean to some other clubs, considering the heritage you have in the old Heineken Cup.
Yeah, no, we've got a good history in the Heineken, or in the European Cup. I nearly called it the Heineken Cup. Then we've obviously we've been in a lot of knockout games, and we've obviously been in some finals and been in some losing finals as well. It's a big game. Stade are a quality side, and we have them at home. It's in April, so we're kind of obviously targeting that as a medium-term goal, and we're trying to get a lot of our bodies back fit for the week before that. Brendan O'Connor will hopefully be back fit, and he's been pretty important to our game so far this season. That's a game obviously we'll be targeting. If we can get a win in that game, you're probably going to get a home semi-final against a French opposition as well. So it would be nice to do well in that, but I think, you know, for the moment for us, the bread and butter is about the domestic stuff in the league, and we obviously need to maintain our form there.
Final question: have you taken fully to the coaching now, or is there still a pang back for your playing days? I've never spoken to someone who'll tell me that coaching replaces the thrill of playing.
The coaching 100% does not replace the thrill of playing. I think playing is the best job in the world, and it's obviously very nice to be able to do something that you love. Coaching is nice. It's great to be involved in rugby. It's great to be involved in something that you know and that you love. But I don't think there's any sort of way that it could replace playing. It's a lot tougher. It's a lot tougher being a coach, I'll tell you that.
And would you have ambitions to be a head coach, or are you happy, you know, with the cut and thrust of not having to deal with the responsibility that goes with being the top job?
No, I think it's like anything. I think eventually I'd like to have the responsibility of being a head coach. It's something sort of got a small taste of the responsibility last year for half the season, and it's tough going. I think, you know, the appreciation of that I've only been doing this since I finished playing, so it's just over 2 years now, and very much back at the start, at the bottom of the ladder. I really have to kind of learn the ropes, I've got a lot of people, a lot of good people, a lot of good coaches in around me, and luckily I've dealt with some very good coaches over my career. So I'll just try and learn a little bit from each and one of them, and hopefully get better. You know, I think coaching, it's a tough gig, and a lot of it can be decided by the players. I've never met a good coach without good players.
Okay.
It's something that I'm aspiring to do for a while, and hopefully it goes well for me, but you never know.
We wish you well with the rest of the season ahead. Thanks so much for your time, Jordan.
Cheers, Eamon. Thank you.
There you have it, the thoughts of former Irish and Leicester fullback Jordan Murphy. That is it from us for this week. We will be back after the Italy game in 2 weeks' time. From all of us here, until we chat again, thanks for your time.